I want you to think about this account is just unbelievable. I mean, some of the little details, I'm not preaching on Easter yet, that's in a few weeks, but you notice they didn't recognize him. Did you notice nobody recognized Jesus before he revealed himself? I mean, they walked with him for miles. Often when we're in the Holy Land, we drive from Jerusalem to Emmaus, where they were walking. It's a long walk, and it takes quite a few lessons in the Scripture to get there, depending on which location you use, whether it's the one that's 7 miles or 3 miles or 5 miles. There are several Emmauses. But Jesus, the whole time, taught, but they didn't understand until he sat at the meal and broke bread. And most commentators take it that that's another evidence of why they didn't recognize him. It wasn't until they saw the scars, the nail pierce, the horrific effects of crucifixion on his hands, that they recognized who he was. But all that aside, they did. And if you look at verse 45, he says he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. He did that as he used the Scriptures in front of them. And I want to just take you, I don't know what Jesus taught them then, but I do know, if you turn back to Matthew chapter 5, another teaching time that we find Jesus performing. And if we look closely at starting in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18 at Jesus' recorded words. And I touched on this last time and I say it again, especially if you look at the ones that are the red ones, the actual words of Christ. Remember, 10% of them are quotations from the Old Testament. We can see that the Bible, the Old Testament Scriptures, were used by Jesus in a very, very special way. Not haphazardly, not, you know, just as if it was the same as any other book. I mean, Jesus did not place the Bible on the same level as secular books and the newspaper and, you know, movies and pop songs and stuff. He regarded the Scriptures totally different, totally distinct from everything else. And that we see starting in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Because Jesus built his life and ministry upon the foundation of the book that he believed was flawless. Jesus believed that the Scriptures were flawless, inerrant, infallible, inspired. You can use all the synonymous words there. From Genesis to Malachi. There is no doubt that Jesus affirmed the Old Testament canon. He did it in every way possible. Just now, when we read in Luke 24, it talked about Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Those were the three divisions of the Scriptures that the Hebrew mind would have thought about. Jesus was affirming the whole Old Testament. But the words of our Lord Jesus were filled with the Scriptures. Starting in chapter 5, verse 18, Jesus said in there, "For assuredly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." That was kind of his mantra, his theme, his total overview of the Scriptures. Now, how did he apply that? Well, back up one page to chapter 4, okay? Because Jesus, in his temptation, in Matthew 4, met and overcame Satan in the wilderness temptation using three verses. Do you remember them? In verse 4, he quotes from Deuteronomy 8:3, and he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds from the mouth of God." Every word was to be our food. A little later, we'll see that as the Jesus diet. That he said that we must live not by just wholesome food, whole grain, bread, you know, that they ate, but by every word. Continuing, if you look down at verse 7, Jesus quotes again in from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16 when he said, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then if you look at verse 10, Jesus quotes again from chapter 6 verse 13 of Deuteronomy. But in his temptation, Jesus used the word of God, not his own words. Now that's an amazing thing. Anything Jesus said would have been in red because they would be the words of Jesus and they would instantly be Scripture. Did you ever think that? He didn't do that. He used old words. He used words that were 1,476 years old when he used them, that Moses used and those he used. Chapter 5, where we were in just a moment ago, just turn the page if you want. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, look at verse 21. He quotes from Exodus 20. And also Deuteronomy 5, look at verse 27. That is a quote from Exodus 20 and verse 14, as well as Deuteronomy 5 and verse 8. Look at verse 38, Matthew 5, 38, when Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said." Right there, he was quoting from Exodus 21, 24 and Leviticus 24, as well as Deuteronomy 19. And I could just walk you through, but you all have footnotes, and walk you through Christ's public teaching. Jesus not only in private met the devil and confronted him with the word of God, in public, Jesus footnoted and referenced and verified what he said based on the Old Testament scriptures. And he does that all the way through. If you continue, let's go to chapter 26. We'll do, because he taught all the way through, but let's go to Matthew 26. So go all the way to the right. Jesus, not only in his temptation, in his teachings, but in his sorrows, in Matthew 26, as Jesus prepared for Gethsemane and inevitably the cross, it's amazing in verse 30 what it says. And when they had sung, now you all know this from communion, Matthew 26, 30, it says, and when they had sung an hymn, that's English. Actually, the Greek word that's there is, when they had sung, and the word is humneo, that's where we get the word hymn, but it's far deeper than just one of the songs from the hymn book that we have in front of us. No. This was, Jesus was singing from the Hallel, that's to all Jewish people. The word there that is captured in Greek references back to the hymns that were sung at the Passover. And specifically, Jesus would have been singing from the scriptures that were directly associated, Psalm 113, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, that were directly associated with the Passover meal. And Jesus sang with his disciples chapters from the Bible. How did Jesus get ready for the cross? How did he get ready for sweating, as it were, great drops of blood? The scriptures. He sung the scriptures. In fact, it specifically tells us that Jesus, if you look at Matthew 24 and verse 35, which is just back across the page, Jesus said this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." He could have comforted himself by declaring some of his words that would also never pass away. But Jesus always would revert to the written word of God. And he would quote from that. And what is amazing about that is that Jesus, in his sorrows, prepared. If you keep going to chapter 27, when Jesus is on the cross, and specifically in verse 46, Jesus is quoting again from the Psalms. And in the Psalms, Jesus is preparing for giving up his spirit. And Jesus cites exactly from Psalm 41. And verse 9, so for Jesus, and also from Psalm 22:1 and 31:5, Jesus was specifically with the word of God on his lips as he was hanging there dying. In fact, in chapter 17 of John's gospel, just before they arrested him, he was praying that great high priestly prayer. And that's where he began the preparation for the cross, in Psalm 41. So Jesus, if you look at it from the launch of his ministry, from when he was meeting the devil, all the way through his teaching ministry, all the way through his private discipleship, to the cross, is always using the word of God. And that's why when we get to Luke 24, where we began this morning, at the end of the gospel account, to comfort the confused and sorrowful disciples, in Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus reminds them of the scriptures.